Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
All right. We are in Ephesians. Are you guys enjoying Ephesians? Did any of you go home and actually start learning that prayer that we've been in? Ephesians 1. God is so good to us, isn't he? He gave us so much. We just saw Paul. I saw it for the second time. The first time, I was trying to wrap my mind around, like, you know, where is the set? Where are they going? What are they talking about? What part of the Bible is this? And, you know, second time, I didn't have all that. So I just cried the whole movie. And, you know, and any time he would speak the word, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that is what was going on. You know, like, and just such a deep, moving moment to see where the Church of Christ was, the price that they paid so that we could sit here today, guys, so that we could have a book called the Word of God, the living Word of God, in front of us so that we have a manual on how to do life, how to be Christians, how to serve as his kids, how to be kingdom kids. They didn't have all that. They had pieces, and they believed, and they just went after it, and they gave everything for their Christian faith. And so I think that us in America, we're just so used to it, it's common to us. But I want to challenge you as pastor, anytime the things of God become common to you, be scared. You need to stir yourself up. You need to rebuke that spirit over you of just complacency and, oh, I'm not going to, this is just going to be a normal for me. No, God never should be a normal. God should always be powerful. We should be in the wonder of who he is. Bring yourself back to the places. Remember where you came from. Because he's a good God and he saved us all from something. All of us are so unworthy to be here, but yet he gave everything so we could be here and live in freedom and walk out on this earth the way that he walked on this earth. And so today we're in Ephesians. We've been going through Ephesians. We've learned so many incredible things about who we are in Christ, what our inheritance is, being adopted and grafted into his family, into his kingdom, which is amazing. That right there, if you've never had a family, if you feel like I've always had a screwed up family unit, go back to those messages if you didn't hear them, because you're going to understand that you're part of a greater family, a kingdom family, a God kind of family, and maybe the earthly family didn't do it right and didn't portray it the way God wanted it to be. But let me tell you, God restores and redeems all things back. It's not too late. It's not over. You are the beginning of your new miracle. You are the beginning of a new life. And so I want to tell you today, you are important to God. He cares about you. He created you. He loves you. Your problems are not too much for him. Your life is not too overwhelming for him. He doesn't look down and panic about who you are or what your personality is. And why did she say that? And oh my goodness, he says, all right, we got some work to do. And let's get to work. And so this is who he is. And then we go into Ephesians, and Ephesians is teaching us. Paul is praying over the body of Christ, which I'm so grateful for men and women of God that pray for the body of Christ. Because the power of prayer is something we don't understand, but it's what moves the spiritual realm. And even Satan himself and all of his demons understand the power of prayer. And they know that once you get it, once you understand your authority, all of a sudden they have no authority and they have no, see, they're working on false pretenses. If they could put fear in you and keep you paralyzed, you don't advance forward. You don't go any further in life. But if you grab a hold of the principles that we're learning in Ephesians, if you break it down for yourself and you go, whoa, wait a second, I've been doing life flipped. I've been doing it a little backwards. Then you go, wait, I am a daughter of the king. I carry the authority of Jesus Christ. He went and sat at the right hand of the Father. This is what we talked about in heavenly places, right? And he has left his power to us and his authority to us. And so when Satan tries to rear his ugly head at us, we can go, in the name of Jesus, go away. What do you know? You're getting symptoms of something. Well, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go away. You don't get to stay in my body. This is not, you're wrong person. I'm not a wimp and I'm not weak and I know who I am. You see, we start to act out who we really are instead of just giving in. Because sometimes, guys, you know it's easier to give in. Sometimes, you know, when you're sick, you want to be sick. Have you ever been the mom that's like, one day I wish I could really be sick? because then maybe somebody would let me just lay in my room all day and watch TV, and then the husband would have to take care of the kids. And, you know, those are the days where you're like, I just don't feel good. But really, you know, you probably could get up. You could tell Satan to go somewhere, but you're like, nah, I'm going to let people baby me a little. But sometimes, you're laughing because you do it, huh? But sometimes, Satan knows that those are our weaknesses. You see, he's been studying humanity for a very long time. And guess what? We're creatures of habit. So generation after generation after generation, he knows our facial expressions. He knows what bugs us. He knows how to get into our little crevices that we allow open doors into our life. Demonic things will come in. You go, how does that happen? Through the eye gate, through the ear gate, through practices in life. What are we watching? What are we allowing into our lives? What are we keeping healthy routines of? And what are we slacking on? So now the enemy's able to come in and take some ground. You see, this isn't a game, girls. And I know we love to come to church and just feel good about life. It's rainbows and sunshine and unicorns, and Jesus came because he loves us. And absolutely he does. But we also live in this very dark world, and there's a spiritual realm happening around us that's very real, and you may not be able to see it, but it's working. And we need to step into who we are, be aware of what's going on around us. Last night, my mom said that they were in the altar call. She's like, I just feel like there's a spirit over the altar call. There's something that has to be broken. When you have to fight that hard, it just shouldn't be. And you see, we can pick up on that, but we're in our word. We're praying. We're asking the Lord to show us. Sometimes there's been times, I always feel bad when I go on vacation because I feel like I'm a little lazy in that. And I always feel this guiltiness. And the Lord had to show me, no, take some rest. Like, you don't always have to be in a spiritual battle constantly. And many of you may be battle fatigued. Maybe you're in here and you're tired. Maybe you're in here and you're going, I've been believing God for my family. I've been believing for my marriage. I've been believing for this state. I've been believing for our country, and I'm not seeing what I'm praying for. Well, listen, it doesn't mean we stop praying. It doesn't mean we don't start believing and stop believing. Because how many people fought for something and never saw the end result of it? But they had to fight for it for the next generations. Your prayers will never go void. Your heart and your passion for the things of God will not turn void. You stick in there. You stay in there. You do what you're supposed to do. Teach the children under you. Teach your kids. Teach your grandkids. Teach your nieces. Teach your nephews. Put the power of God back in your home, girls, because that's where you're going to begin to see change in life. That's where we're going to begin to see things open up. And then what the world seems so dark, we're going to get brighter. Christians are going to be a bright and shining star. We're going to be that city on a hill that cannot be. That's what this is about. Yes, the world is turning darker, but I believe we're going to get brighter. And so we've got to fill ourselves up. We have to understand who we are. We have to go there so that we can be ready when the battle comes. We can be ready when we're being attacked. So in Ephesians, I'm going to read the whole prayer, Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto all of us today, God, the wisdom of revelation and knowledge of you, and that the eyes of our understanding, Lord, would be enlightened as we are learning your word. And that you may know what is the hope of your calling, that we may know what are the riches of your glory, God, and what is the inheritance of your saints. Verse 19, and Lord, we just pray right now, what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but God, which is to come. And you have put all things under your feet, and you gave him to be head over all things to the church. So, Lord, we take it. Verse 23, which we are your body, we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. In Jesus' name. Lord, just use us today. Teach us your scriptures. Teach us to be what you just spoke. Teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Those scriptures are powerful. And pray them over yourself every day. Pray them over your kids every day. When you understand that you're no longer seeing through the eyes of, like we talked about, we have to see through the eyes of what God says and not what we say. We have to see through the eyes of what not the world is telling us, not what our pocketbook looks like, not what people are saying through our Instagrams or what people's ideas of us are. We have to see through the eyes of how God sees us. We have to see through the eyes of what God is asking of us. And so today, we're going to look at this and we're going to break it down. We are in verse 21 through 23. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. I love that. These verses summed up are the church is the body in unity with Christ. You see, God doesn't do these things apart from us. He does it with us. He brought us into his kingdom, and he gave us reign and authority over this earth when he went and sat at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. You're going, what? Yes, you are now in unity and at work with Jesus Christ hand in hand. That's big. That's really big. Christ is sharing, it is us sharing in Christ's exaltation on earth. Who is the fullness in this scripture? Jesus Christ is. And who fills all in all? The church. Not the church down the street, not the church as a building, but you are the church. Say, I am the church of the living God. Amen. And that you are the one who fills all in all now. We are the ones left on this earth to carry out what it is he started. What Christ would do, the church must do now. The church is a complement of Jesus. It fulfills Jesus himself. God's plan for this world is not in anything else but his church. God's plan for this world is to be fulfilled through you and through I and through our service to the King and who we are. Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named. Let's break this down. Far above. In Philippians 2:9-11, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That name of Jesus. Every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Even Satan himself knows Jesus as God. Even the devil and all his demons know who he is and understand him to be God. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You may know the greatest atheist of all atheists. You may know that person, but one day their knee will bow. And one day they will confess him as Jesus. You may not see it this side of heaven, but when they die and they have to go before him, they will understand his omniscient power. They will know that they have now met the creator of the universe, their creator, and they will bow their knee to him. Because he has the last say. He is God. And it says, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Principality is a rule, authority, and a power. That could be demonic or it could be angelic. There's that spiritual world working out there on against you or on your behalf. Up to you. What doors have you opened in your home? What principalities are ruling greater than the things of God? I have to ask you these questions because sometimes we don't even understand that that's what's working. Are we entertaining the things of this world more than we're entertaining the things of God? Many times, you know, Christians around here, they'll be like, oh, I love Halloween and, all this. And I'm like, why are we entertaining demons? Let's not entertain them. We can take back that holiday, right, and redeem it. And we have a harvest carnival so that there's a safe place for people to come. But the reality is I'm not celebrating demons. I'm taking back what the enemy has tried to take and steal from people, and I'm going to redeem it and make it good and healthy and wholesome. You see, what is it the enemy and the principalities have been looming over your life long enough that you've put up with? Because let me tell you, it's a familiar spirit. Anything familiar, you're comfortable with. And when it's gone, you're actually uncomfortable with it being gone because you've learned to live with that familiar spirit. You've actually adapted your life to that way of living. So it's harder to get rid of a familiar spirit, that principality that wants to just change your mind or change your thought or change your patterns. You see, because we're creatures of habit. And so when you have to change your thinking, change it, and realize, wait a second, I'm coming up against some principalities right now. In Romans 8:38, it says, For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I love that. So far above Jesus in heaven, who everyone will bow down to, and all principalities, they have no power over us, no might and no dominion, and every name that is named. I love this. Ephesians 1:22, let's go there. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. All things, not some things. Now, those are the enemy's things. That's that family stuff. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to go there. No, God has control over all things. He has the final say over all things. He is the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the one who breathed and the earth was created. He's the one who formed us out of Adam's rib. I mean, that is an incredible miracle right there. Science can't even understand it. But you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's over all things. All things, Matthew 28:18. I'm going to give you some scriptures today. Write them down. Study them out this week. And Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, he's talking to us, make disciples of all the nations. This is your job, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized, we have it on the first of every month. You can come out and get baptized. All right? Because that's what God is asking. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of this age. This was not just for the Old Testament prophets, guys. This is not just for the New Testament stories that we hear about. This is for us today. They are the same characters and personalities back then, but they were not living in this generation today. God knew us, but then when he was on the cross, he knew what we'd look like. He knew what our personalities would be. He knew what we'd come up against. He wouldn't be shocked if he came on the earth and he saw a cell phone. God knew what was coming. He knew what was advancing in the generations. He knew what was happening. He's not overwhelmed by this. He says, I redeem it all back. I am the one who takes control of it all. I am the one who rules it all. I am the one that is saying that since I did it, you can do it. We are just the church that has to understand this so we can go and do it. Because so many times we expect the pastor to get up here and have a really good message. And then they're going to do the altar call and that's all I have to do is just show up to church. But then you go out there and you're just the same person you are. You're not changing. You're not challenging yourself to learn the word of God on your own. You're not reading the word for yourself. You're not asking God to go deeper and take you to new places. You're not getting on mission trips. You're not serving in the house of God anymore. You've become lazy in your walk. Not all of you, but maybe some of you. And I want to challenge you today. It's time to get back on board. It's time to get back in and become the disciple makers that God has asked us to be because he did it, and now we must carry it out. We have to be a complement of who Jesus is. Do you see that? People are watching us. They're looking at us. They're asking, who is this God? This amazing God that has control over every dark power, over every rule of the enemy. This is who his name is Jesus. He has put all things under. In 1 Corinthians 5:26, I love this. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So many times we as Christians are scared of death. Why? This earth is not better than heaven. Let me tell you right now. If you had a glimpse of heaven, you'd be like, take me home now. I'm good. No matter how good life is here, you would still say it. You'd say, I miss my babies. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't because you'd be with your creator. You'd be dancing on streets of gold. You would be in the presence of the Almighty every single day, all day long. You see, this earth we are passing through. This earth should not be our final say. Death cannot have us or take us. I love what Paul said. To die is gain. It's gain. We should not be afraid of death. Death will come to every single one of us. The only one that didn't experience, well, Jesus experienced death and rose from it, but he did not go back and die again. I love that. Pastor Luke and Pastor Dan brought that up, that every person that he raised from the dead eventually ended up dying again. But Jesus never died again. He went and he sat at the right hand of his Father. His death took our sin. You see, this is the power that is working in us and through us. This is what we carry, girls. Death has no say on us. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. He did that on that cross, for he put all things under his feet. And when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him, Jesus, is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to Jesus, the Son of himself, and also will be subjected to him, God, who put all things under him, that God may be, listen to this, all in all. I love when God says, what is his name in the Old Testament? I am. I am. I am what? I am over everything. I am the one who created everything. I am the one who calls up everything. I am the one who stops everything. I am the one who brings things on. I am. I am lives within you. This is who you carry. If we could understand this, no longer would we be afraid any longer. Fear would have no grip on us. Satan would have no catch in our little hearts. Our hearts would be like, please, I know who I am. I know what's working with me, and I know my authority. And all of a sudden, Satan and hell starts to shudder and go, oh, they're untouchable. I can't shake them. I could bring death and destruction upon them, but I'm not going to be shaken. You see, we have to be reminded of this, though, because our human hearts go back to sadness. Our human hearts go back to brokenness. Our human hearts go back to the moment of tragedy that we don't know how to get past. Those things that you want to ask God why, but you'll never get the answer to. But did you ever think that maybe it all works itself out later on in heaven and earth? God knows all things. He works all things out for the good of those that love the Lord. And if God says it, then it's done in my heart. If he tells me I have to move forward, if he tells me to keep going and serving him, then I'm going to keep going and serving him. He's a just God. He's a mighty God. He's the great I am. My dad used to say it. I loved it. If he sent me to hell after all my work, he would still be a just God, because his name is Jesus. And he's a ruler of all. He's a ruler of me, and he's a ruler of my heart. And I will follow him. I will follow his lead. I will not get off course. And listen, sin, no sin in this world should take you to hell, because you already had someone that paid for it. So shake yourself up. Shake yourself up. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself that all things are under him. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body. Who's his body? Some got it. Just the three right here know that they're the body of Christ. We have a lot of teaching to do, Pastor Michelle. Who is the body of Christ? That's right. You are. And God needs you. You can disqualify yourself, but he did not disqualify you. You can say, oh, there's no more for me to do in the kingdom. I don't know. But God says, knock it off. Maybe it's different now. Maybe things are changing. Maybe I'm asking you to take roads you would have never taken if you weren't in this position. Maybe there's places he needs you to go, and mission trips you've never been on, and people that you've never talked to. Maybe there's things and departments and ministries and things that God needs to birth out of you, because God says you are not disqualified in my kingdom ever. You are my body. I need every finger. I need every toe. I need every hair. I need every head. I need every eye. I don't care if it's dysfunctional or not. I'm going to use it. I'm going to heal it. I'm going to restore it so it can be used for the purpose of my kingdom. You see, we are the body of Jesus Christ. And when we are human and walking in our human ability, Pastor Jess, all the time, I don't feel like I'm the body of Christ. Do you ever feel like I do not feel like the body of Christ right now? My fingers are hurting. My back is hurting. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm getting old. And we start speaking those things instead of saying, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. My back is healed by the stripes on the cross. I'm not getting old. I'm just getting wiser. And God is doing something new inside of me. You see, we have to change our faith confession, because the body of Christ has to do things differently than how the world does things. We're saved, girls. We're redeemed. We're loved by the King of all kings. We are the ones who he has called out of darkness. How many of you have been called out of some nasty darkness in life? You got a whole lot to thank Jesus for. Amen. Don't forget where you came from. Because when you're the body of Christ, he restores all things. He renews all things. He strengthens all things. The body, Romans 12:5. We, being many, are one body in Christ Jesus, and individual members of one another. You see, I can't do life without Michelle. Because Michelle's a part of me, and I'm a part of her because we're sisters. When I watched Paul the Apostle, I sat there and I thought, that's my brother. I may not have ever got to meet him and Luke, but they're my family. And I'm so proud of you. Good on you. When I saw Aquila and Priscilla in that movie, and they were fighting in those Roman times to get the gospel and to take care of people and to be the church, I said, that's my sister. That's my brother. You see, you sitting in these chairs, we are family. We are one body in Christ Jesus. I may look different than you, and I may smell different than you, and I might have different opinions and a personality, and it's not going to be like, you know, in our family, we're Italian on my dad's side and Swedish on my mom's side, so we're always like, well, I got the Italian side. That's why I use my hands all the time, and that's why I'm loud. I just say it like it is. And then my brother's like, I'm Swedish. I'm just not that way. And so you can break things down according to your earthly, right? But the reality is your earthly is nothing compared to your heavenly. And you've got to begin to see yourself a little different here. I don't care where you came from. I only care where you're going. I only care as a pastor. I'm going to push your butt into heaven if I have to. I'm going to kick you to heaven if I have to. But I don't want you to waste some time on this earth. I want you to live a supernatural life on this earth. And we as a body of Christ need to be there for each other, to encourage each other, to say, I'm having a bad day. I'm not feeling like the body of Christ today. I'm irritated today. I'm frustrated today. All right, let's pray. All right, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. And then we can talk and we can work through some things and we can strengthen each other in the inner man, and that we can lift each other up and we can say, you've got this. Say, I've got this. I'm the body of Christ. Sometimes you just need to know you've got this. See, God did all of this so that we could. He did all of this so we could. I love that. And then in Ephesians it says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness is that we are complete in him. Colossians 2, 9 through 10. For in him dwells all fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in yourself? Are you complete in your husband? You know that movie, Jerry Maguire, you complete me? No. I love Dan, but he does not complete me. I love him with all my heart. He's my other half. But we don't complete each other without Jesus right there with us. Our marriage is nothing without Jesus. You see, nobody's going to complete you, but you are complete in Jesus. And it says in this verse, who is the head of all principality and power? That spiritual realm that we talked about before, that one that's coming to attack you, that one that's coming to break you down, he has power over all of that. And the fullness of God is going to fulfill it all. Just hold on. You may not see it yet, but it's coming. And he's working. And you just believe him and you thank him for what he's doing. And you ask what your part is in it. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. It says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. Listen, God doesn't set us up and leave us with nothing. He doesn't say you have the fullness of all, go out and make disciples, but you have no power behind it. Remember, we learned we carry the power of Jesus Christ last week. We carry the authority that he had. We learned that last week. But in the Spirit, he has given us some powerful things, some amazing things. The Holy Spirit leaves us gifts. Did you know that you can have gifts from the Holy Spirit? Maybe you've never been taught this in your life, but you're about to learn some new things. That there's gifts that he wants to give you, and maybe it's time for you to reach out and take them. And it says in verse 8, for one is given the word of wisdom, to one another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, and to the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, another to the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each individually as he wills. Let me tell you something. One thing I think is sad in the body of Christ is we don't talk about this in some churches. This is not just for the past. This is for the present. And if anything, we need it more in the present than they probably needed it in the past. We need that supernatural working through us in this dark and nasty world. And God wants to release some gifts. He wants to flow through us and use us in ways that maybe you didn't know you could be used. Did you know that there's an extra power in who you are just as the king's kid? So how do you distribute it? Let's talk about some of these. I took them from Pastor Sue's notes. Remember when I said go take her class? I'm still going to say that too because I'm not getting into the depths of this, but I'm going to cover them really quick because the Holy Spirit left us some things so that we can fulfill the fullness of everything he has. A word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is a spiritual word of God's wisdom. If one of the gifts are supernatural, they are all supernatural. Supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose in the mind and the will of God. It speaks the future and the direction. That's what a word of wisdom is. It'll speak your future and your direction. So maybe somebody's given you a word of wisdom and you go, that was weird. Well, it could be weird. Spiritual things are not going to be like very understandable. They're not, your flesh is not going to be like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. No, you're going to be like, that's a little odd. And when you go, that's a little odd, that's good because then you got to die to your flesh. You got to tap into your spirit, man, and go, okay, help me to understand this. Help me to see what I'm experiencing right now. Word of knowledge, a word of knowledge is the present and past facts in the mind of God concerning people and places and things, information that you did not have. Sometimes you need a word of knowledge. Many times I'll be in prayer. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand what I'm coming up against. What is this? What is this? And he'll say, ask me what spirit you're coming up against. He will say that to me. And I'll, what spirit am I coming up against? And many times he's told me that's a spirit of fear. That's a spirit of, you know, complacency. Pray against that. And then I'll know how to pray in my spiritual life. I'll know how to pray in my prayer time. You see, these are things, words of knowledge. And they're for us, guys. Faith or spiritual faith, a supernatural endowment by the Spirit, whereby that which is uttered or desired by man or spoken by God shall eventually come to pass. Kenneth Hagin says this. He taught us this. This man lived in another realm. Let me tell you, I was his student, and I was like, come back to us. Where are you? Because he understood the supernatural side to life. And faith is not tapping into our practical side. Faith is tapping into our spiritual and supernatural side. Faith is not saying that you are in agreement with disbelief. Faith does not go along with disbelief. It's not moved by disbelief. You have to have the belief in who Jesus is to carry out the faith. Gifts of healing. It's plural. More than one to meet more sources of healing. I love that. It's to deliver the sick and to destroy the works of the devil in our human body. When healing is attained instantaneously, gifts of healing involved a healing miracle. Last night, Pastor Dan was in church. How many of you were here last night? And I guess he just started calling out healing. He said, people just got healed. People were just healed. Listen, I want to be in the right place at the right time because when my body starts screaming at me, I want to take authority over it and I need a healing from heaven to come and heal me and to touch me. And you see, God has that for us. That is not of the past. That is not something that we, well, let's just pray that if it's the will of God. What is it? I'd like to ask those pastors, what is the will of God then? Because the only thing I see in scripture is to pray for healing. So what is the will of God? Is to pray for healing. The will of God is to believe God for the impossible. Even when I don't see it. Even when I don't feel it. Even when it's screaming at me. I scream louder back. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to let you take me over. I'm not going to let this be my demise. I'm not going to let this paralyze my life or take me to a new place of depression and a new place of brokenness. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be a whole bunch of Christians not full of faith and not understanding that there are spiritual gifts that we are not tapping into. And Rock Church and World Outreach Center, I'm not going to sit here and let you not know the fullness of what the Word of God says. I won't be that pastor. You can go down the street. There's a couple of them that actually won't teach these things to you. And I'm telling you right now, I will not be that person. Because I want the fullness of all in all. And I don't need the fullness of all now in heaven. I need it here on earth. That fullness was not for me in heaven. That fullness is for me here on earth. I need to know what God has. I need to know what he says about these things. The working of miracles. How many of you need a miracle? Reach out for it. When ordinary course of nature is suspended, works a miracle rather than receives a miracle. Moses touching his rod on the Red Sea when he... And the sea just parted. And they walked on, listen to me, not wet ground, dry ground. So no science that they have studied has figured out how it's been dry ground. Figure that out. I feel like God is like, try me. Because your science ain't ever gonna figure me out. One day you'll bow. One day you'll know. One day. See, he doesn't have to go overboard with this because he's already proven himself. He's already done it. We, in this time, in this generation of unbelief, girls, you've been fed so much unbelief and feelings. This is not about how you feel. This is not about what we think is right or what the world is telling us we have to accept. It's what God says, and that's the final. It's how he does it. He's the one that created it all. Now, Satan has left his havoc and wreaked his havoc here on earth. You can be in his wind of a mess, or you can be in the wind of God and the breath of God, and you can be working in some mighty miracles. He's left us prophecy, a supernatural utterance, a simple gift of edification, exhortation, and comfort to edify the church. Simple gift has no foretelling aspect. It's not going to tell you the future. It's just going to encourage you. If it does, it's a word of wisdom, because a word of wisdom is the one that foretells. It is delivered through the vehicle of prophecy. God is speaking to man through man, but this must be judged so that it doesn't carry the same weight as a written word of God. When a prophecy goes against this, you know that ain't word. Just drop that on the ground and leave it there. When someone speaks a word, a prophetic word over you, we've had many of them. You know what we do? Nothing. We just wait to see what God does. And if it's fulfilled, it's fulfilled. If it's not, all right, then it wasn't God. A lot of times when you'll get a word from somebody, it will bear a witness with your spirit man. And you'll go, ooh, I'm going to take a hold of that. I'm gonna walk and believe that God heard my prayers. Sometimes it's just for you to know that he loves you and that he's on your side. And that you're not alone in whatever you're going through. A discerning of spirits. Insight into the spiritual world, both good and evil. Not the gift of suspicion. But suspicion? I love that. Well, I'm just wondering if it's da-da-da-da-da. No. This is something you will know. You will see it. Some people actually see demons. Some don't. And angels. I have a little boy. His name is Titus. And Titus so nonchalantly told me this about a few months ago. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've seen dark, evil things in my room, but then I see white things just come through and take them away, and I'm like, well, how long has this been going on, son? He's like, oh, I see it all the time. I'm like, does it scare you? No. And I go, why not? He goes, and he's just a matter-of-fact kid, because I know who I am. And I'm like, I've done a good job. Like, he knows who he is, you know? Like, he doesn't have to be afraid of these things. You see, that's a gift of discerning of spirits. I know I have it, but I asked God not to see it. And he was so gracious to me, he doesn't let me see it. But I could feel when something's in the room. I know when I walk, I'm like, ugh, what is that, God? And then word of knowledge, just okay, let's pray against that. We just deal with it right there. You see, discerning of spirits. You can have the upper hand on the enemy. You don't have to be in the dark wondering what is happening and lurking around. You can go, I know where you are. In the name of Jesus, go back to hell where you came from. Quit messing around. You don't get to hang out here. I love that movie in the war room when she opened her door and she said, get the hell out, Satan. I mean, come on. He was wreaking havoc on her marriage. What is it that you need to have some discerning about so we can be the fullness of what God's asked us to do? He's left us these things. Different kinds of tongues. That means you're listening to me speak now. I'm not talking about Spanish. I'm not talking about Latin. I'm not talking about Italian, other languages. I'm talking about supernatural tongues. You go, oh, here we go. It's one of them weird churches. Well, if you think it's weird, okay, but it's what God gave us. And once again, this is not for the past. This is for now, us living now. One time I was in a school, a Christian school, and they skipped this area. Then they finally started talking about this area, and they were like, it's not for today. I'm like, can I talk to you about that? It is for today. Teacher was so mad at me. She's like, just be quiet. And I'm like, well, I can pray in tongues right now so everybody can hear it. And she was just so mad at me. I got a D in Bible that day. I got a D. Pastor Dan did find my report card. He's like, really, you got a D in Bible, Pastor Jess? And I'm like, let me explain why. You see, it is for today. And I'm going to be feisty about it because I want you to get past it being weird and it become good for you and become normal, become a feeling, it becomes a sense of a peace. When you don't know what to pray, you get to pray in your spirit, man, and it builds up the inner man inside of you. And then you pray things and you utter things that the spirit needs you to pray that you don't even know you need to pray. It's such a beautiful thing, speaking in tongues. For I have good things for you, daughters. Listen to my words today and use them, because it's coming and you'll need them. That was interpretation of what I just said. You see, he doesn't just give tongues, but he gives interpretation of tongues. Did you know that when you pray in tongues, your spirit man's going to, if you ask, he'll tell you what you said. Sometimes I don't ask because I don't want to know. Sometimes I can feel the weight of it, and I'm like, I really don't want to know what I was just breaking through in. Sometimes when God is doing something and you don't know what to say or pray, start speaking in tongues. Many times we'll be in a service. Let me tell you something. You will find at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, if Pastor Dan is speaking a word and somebody stands up in the back and starts prophesying, that's not God. We will shut you down, so don't try it. Because God is not going to interrupt himself. Jesus is speaking through the man of God. He has an anointing for that. Whoever's in this pulpit, because there's men and women in these pulpits. We believe in both. And when they're standing there and they're being filled and they're anointed by God to carry that message, he's not going to interrupt himself. But there's been times where my mom is actually, I remember when we were a young mom, do you remember? She would speak in tongues. We'd be in church and there was one man you trusted. And he would stand up and he would interpret. He would interpret what she'd say, and it was so beautiful. Lupe, you've done it a couple times with Mom, I think, before. It's just a beautiful thing. It's the body of Christ working together to edify us, to strengthen us. See, that may be weird to you, but in the kingdom, it's not weird. It's spiritual, and it's very good. So the interpretations of tongues is a showing forth of meaning of what was said in the tongues in that spirit, not for the word or translation, but rather the interpretation of tongues. These gifts are for us to carry out what God has given to us. We can use them to overcome the enemy's plans and the assignments over our lives. I love that. That means I don't got to keep walking in a broken, busted, disgusted life. When I do, I have to just remind myself, wait a second, what am I doing? I don't get to live here because I know too much. Have you ever had a spoiled child? You know, they've just had a really good week and I'll tell him my son a little bit last night. Baba picked him up from school and they went to the batting cages and he just loved it. And he just had so much fun. And I'm like, you're the only one that got to go. And he came home and I asked him to do some things. Why do we always have to do this? Why do we? And I'm like, oh, okay, so do I need to take away all your good things that you just got to do? Sometimes I feel like we're that with God. Like, I just gave you all the gifts. I gave you everything you need. You're living this amazing life, and then you're grumbling and complaining when I ask you to carry it out. Ooh. God is saying, stop it. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself how blessed you are. So how do I apply all of this to my life? How do I apply these scriptures, the fullness of him who fills all in all? How do I apply this to my life? Let's read it one more time. Ephesians 1:21-23, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. He has put all things, not some things, all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to who? The church, you and I, the body of Christ, which is his body. The fullness, we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. Guys, we are the end game. We are here for the last times. We are the ones to carry this out. Let's gear up. Let's get ready. How do I apply this to my life then? Number one, remind yourself whose name you carry. You do not carry any other name but the name of Jesus. You carry the name of Jesus. It has power over everything that would try and be another name over your life. What names have been spoken over you? Cancer? That's a name that you don't need to accept. MS? That's a name you don't need to accept. Scoliosis, that's a name you don't need to accept. Arthritis, that's a name you don't need to accept. Divorced, that's not your name. That's not who you are. Barren, that's not who you are. You're not barren. God's going to birth some new things inside of you. God's got to open that womb. God's going to do some new things in you. What name have you been walking under instead of the name of Jesus? Remind yourself whose name you carry, that no other name has power over you, not even death. We learned that. What has been spoken over you does not define who you are. Pray this prayer on a daily basis and ask for the revelation of God to come to complete your task. Number two, walk in your divine authority over Satan. Remember the authority that you have through Christ Jesus, standing firm and strong when these attacks come at you. I wish I could tell you when you become a Christian, the attacks stop. But they don't. It's almost like they heighten because Satan is now like, oh, now I've got to work harder to take them down. See, when you were sinning and doing your own thing, he didn't have to worry about you. You were ruining your own life. You were on your way to hell. He was happy about that. He's trying to take as many with him to hell as he can. But God is saying, no, 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 no. When these attacks come, I've given you all these gifts. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've left all power and all authority to you. Come on, girls. Conquer it. Overcome it. Take dominion over it. Don't let the enemy lie to you about whatever it is you're going through. I should have had a better amen than that. Because if you're going to sit here and you're going to be a weak Christian, the devil will take you out. If you aren't using the power of God to do what you're doing, then God is asking you to remember, remind yourself, walk in the divine authority that you carry. Number three, fulfill the completed work of God on this earth. Use your gifts today, girls. You have a job to do. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Your life is not your own. It was paid for. And now it is time to fulfill your God assignment to the day you go home to be with Jesus. When we watched Paul the Apostle, one of the conversations we had at the table afterwards, they were saying, Guy, you know, when we're like, and this is our staff, you know, so they're like, well, that's my time. You want me to come in on my time? Oh, wait. Like, is that, and they like, some of them, not all of them, most of them are amazing, but some of them, you know, they nitpick. Well, how much time do I have to give you? And it's like, dude, you used to be the best volunteer. What happened? Like, you forget where you came from. And so we were talking about it, and it was like, what if Paul would have said that? Like, what if he would have said that? He's sitting in prison giving his whole life. There was no my time, your time. All of it's his time. You see, girls, all of this is his time. Your life is not yours. Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. It's all his. Your life is to fill all in all. Your life is to complete what he started here on earth. That's who you are. I'll leave you with this incredible verse that I just love. Mark 16:17 sums it all up. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it by no means it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. And they, who's they? The church, went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them in unity. We talked about that because we're the body. And confirming the word through the company of signs, miracles, and wonders. That's who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you got something from God today, if you learned something from the Word, if your heart was encouraged.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.